All right, everybody, welcome to Outside the Walls podcast, and it's good to be here with you. It's good that you're listening. We're excited that you're here. Again, we've got John Russell here today. My name's Dylan, and we've got Tony Caterina today, and it's going to be a fun conversation. We're keeping it natural, keeping it simple, and also just talking about how God is on the move. Where's the Holy Spirit in this city, in this county? How are we going to, you know, what does God want us to do with these things that we have, with this ministry, with a store that's funding a ministry? And how will we give back? How does God ultimately want us to take what we have and honor Him with it? So let's get into it. I don't know where this is going to go. It's going to be fun.
Hey, let's just start with obedience.
Yeah.
Well, don't you think? It's good. This is where this whole thing starts.
Mm-hmm.
Just being obedient to what you feel like God has called you to do and actually doing it, no matter how big or how small. I mean, it's just thousands of stories of people just being obedient to one little thing and stepping out. We talk about that being a good steward of the small things, and then God trusting you with more.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, he'll never. I just don't believe he'll ever give you. I mean, if God would have given us everything we have now in the early days, it would have sunk the ship. I mean, there's no way it would have worked because there's this whole character thing that you have to work out. Right. And I it's interesting what you just said, John, because I actually did a podcast a long time ago with Dare to Believe. And I mentioned I actually believe this is where people get tripped up a lot is God's given them a vision. Right. And they think that that's where they're supposed to start. And they're actually supposed to start where they are today and work towards that. But they sit there and they wait because they're like, oh, how is this vision going to happen? And it's like, the vision's going to happen when you actually start what you're doing today and walk that out towards whatever he has shown you instead of thinking you're starting there. Because at least my experience with the Lord is if he would have started there, we would have never been able to handle it.
I think one of the beautiful things about heart, Tony, and the culture that you've created here is it's not just your vision. We're not just serving Tony's vision for this. You're giving people an opportunity to discover a vision for their own life.
Yes.
And, you know, and there's so many opportunities and things you can do in heart to begin to discover what that is. You know, whether it's serving in the warehouse, serving in the store, or the scary part, hitting the streets and praying for people.
Yep.
You know, it's where people begin to come alive and discover who God created them to be. And I think that's wonderful that you can do that for people. You're not going, okay, when you come into heart, here's your job, stay in your lane, just do this.
Right.
You give people an opportunity to, hey, spread your wings a little bit, man. Go pray for that person, see what happens.
Yeah.
Step out, take a risk.
That's a great lead into a wonderful testimony.
Did you see that?
You just teed me up.
I did. You know, that's what I'm here to do, man. Just throw softballs.
This is a softball. So
I got more.
I got two testimonies for you guys.
I got a bag full of
thinking of this. But so we had this guy. So he comes in. His name's Dave, and he comes in and he's in a wheelchair.
Wow.
And his wife tells us he's super depressed. Doctors told him he's never going to get out of the wheelchair. We have no idea what to do with him, right? So we sit him down at this workbench and we said, hey, Dave, why don't you put these toys together? Little did we know he was a toy maker.
Nice.
Only God could do this. So Dave starts putting these toys together. And as he puts these toys together, and then he sees these kids who would come in here and get these toys that they would never have a toy, it brought him hope.
Nice.
And he actually realized what a difference he was making in these kids' lives by putting these toys together. Then he starts bringing the toys home.
Oh, really?
And he starts building those. Long and short of it, guess who's not in a wheelchair anymore?
No way.
Yes way.
Wow.
So he's not in a wheelchair anymore.
Come on.
He has two, I think he has two walking canes or something. Now it's funny because he's not here anymore. They've actually moved. I believe they've moved to Mora. They do come down periodically to come get stuff, and actually bring it up to their church in Morris so they can give it away. So
perfect.
This is a really cool way of, here's a guy, his wife brings him out here, doesn't know what his purpose is, and then the Lord gets a hold of him. And then, of course, you know, we're dumber than rocks, right? We have no idea. So we just sit him down and he starts putting toys together, and he's a master at putting toys together, right? And that's what he did as his livelihood. So that's number one. And number two was, so there's a guy that we all know, and when he first came here, I don't think it was going well. His life was just not going well, so he came out here to volunteer. And it's so funny because we have no idea what the background of these people are, right?
Sure.
But what's interesting is himself and Kirk, they could not figure out why we kept giving everything away and how does this thing work where you give stuff away and you just keep getting more, right? And anyway, so we just start doing this, and it kind of boggles people's minds when you just keep giving stuff away and don't ask for anything in return, right? And then how is it that God keeps giving you more stuff? Because wouldn't you run out of, you know, normal people would say, oh, you just run out of that stuff, right? And it's like, well, actually you don't, because God keeps filling the basket.
Or fear sets in, like, oh, we gotta save some.
Correct.
It's like, don't do that either.
Yeah,
don't
exactly. And I that is one of the things that, quite honestly, I just don't have time for.
Right.
You know, to me, it's like, if we don't have it, it's not our problem. It's God's problem. It's his ministry. So, you know what? He can figure out how to put the stuff in here. But anyway, these two guys kind of see how we're doing this stuff. Well, what we didn't know is he's a professional caterer, right? So we end up getting all this food, and we don't know what we're doing. And because of him, you know, coming in here and volunteering and just kind of understanding how the kingdom works and teaching him how the kingdom works, he ends up becoming in charge of all of our donations and outreach stuff when it comes to food. So now, and you know, everybody here knows that his name's Brian, and the guy is unbelievable.
Totally.
You do these 1,000 people cooks, and he knows exactly how much food is needed for how much, because that's what he did. We never knew he was a professional caterer.
Right.
You know, so.
And, you know, we've all been to several of those community picnics, right? And I don't know, I think I can honestly say there's none better than the ones that Brian puts on.
Yeah, for sure.
As far as the quality of food, just how well it's run.
Yep.
I mean, it's top notch.
Yep.
And he's got a heart of gold. Yeah. I mean, he's awesome. And his wife, I mean, I see her every time. Quick joke with her and I always call her mom, you know, but she's here serving all the time.
You know,
I yell, hey, mom. She's like, hey, son. But it's like, they're just the best. And I just think that it speaks to how the Lord is using what this is to change people's lives.
Yeah.
And so like Dave comes in here. He's literally a toy maker. Brian, his profession is food and catering, and he just knocks it out of the park for the kingdom.
Yep.
He brings a snow cone maker to his winter events.
Yeah.
One of these events, my wife Amy was
In
charge of the snow cone maker.
Yep. Right? Nice.
And there's a big long line of kids lined up to get their snow cones.
Nice.
And so she prophesied over each and every one of those kids.
Really?
Oh, that's awesome.
Who got a snow cone.
Let's go.
It's just a word like, you're awesome, you're great, you're a leader, you're going to make an impact, you're this, you're that.
For sure.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yep. But instead of just, like, you know, what the world would just do is say, or not say anything at all, and just, here you go, hand it out. But what I love what Amy's doing is like, I'm going to bring a little bit of what's up there in heaven and bring it down here and speak to your identity really, really quick. And that might never, would not have ever happened.
While I'm pouring liquid sugar syrup over them.
Hey, sorry, parents.
tell them how wonderful their teeth are going to be. I don't know.
Right? That's so good. It's so good.
Yeah,
so,
that even reminds me just of, you know, even when we did the Winterfest, right? And he'd bring the hot chocolate out there. And then, I mean, he's just got these little tricks up his sleeve, like, you know, we don't, just little things that I wouldn't know anything about doing the food, right?
Sure.
And how he can feed that many people and have all those little things going on the side and keep two lines going or four lines going and everybody's getting food. And again, he never runs out. It's it's like, it's unbelievable. He never runs out of the food.
So. But it's like the gifts, like, and those are unique gifts. Right. I think people don't even think that way because, like, well, it's just my job. And but like the Lord wants to like change your thinking and shift it to say, you have gifts that are very important, and they're actually going to be used, and they're probably going to be expanded on. Like people come into Heart, and you have amazing gifts. They need to be used, and there might, like you said before we were even talking about this, is people will come in and they'll say, oh, I can do this, but then be open to what God is doing. Like, how is he going to use you to give back? Because there's something within us that's like, oh, now that we have a taste of the Lord, I need to give something away.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know what it is.
Yeah,
but I got to give it away.
Yeah, you bring up something amazing there, Dylan. It's, you know, like we talked about people who come into Heart to serve with a set of skills or gifts that they use, right? Yep. But there's also a lot of people who discover their gifts. Mm-hmm. And how God has wired them through Heart in this ministry. I mean, I can think of several. One comes to mind right now is there's a young lady out in the community who a couple years ago, we were out doing a food drive, right?
Mm-hmm.
And with our red Heart bags. Remember those things?
Yeah.
And so she got one of those Heart bags on her step. She had no idea about Heart or Heartland or Hosanna or anything. Mm-hmm. And she gets one of these bags and goes, well, I kind of like what they're doing over there. That sounds neat. I think I'm going to go check them out.
Mm-hmm.
So she comes in and starts serving at Heart, just really not understanding her role in everything. Now she's like leading she's leading a group of women who are, I don't know exactly the program at the
Women's prison. What is it called, Tony? Do you know? Am I putting you on the spot?
It's
women's prison.
Yeah, it's...
But she never came into this thinking that that's she was going to do.
Not at all.
That's who she was?
Right.
Prayer team. She has a prayer team.
Oh, my
leading
goodness.
Leading Bible studies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huge involvement and transformation, but it's like it's getting involved.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's almost like we're trying to put people in a position at Heart, you know, with the volunteers, the people involved, not necessarily in a place where they can succeed, but... we'd like to put them in a place where they have to trust, right?
Right, exactly.
So, you know, you put Holly with these group of ladies from prison going through this program. She has no experience in that at all. And all of a sudden, something just comes alive.
Yeah, exactly. Isn't that sweet, though?
No, it is. Yeah. That's really cool. And that's exactly what's happened with her. And then they've all taken this prayer training with V-Check and Gary White, and you know, now they're trained ministers to you know. And what's funny is not only are they over here, but some of them will actually go and move into Hosanna and become a prayer minister there, right? So totally. it's cool to see how they come in not knowing and exactly, and then you just kind of, God gives them a little nudge, right? And then they just kaboom.
Yeah.
And they just start. I think that's probably all the cool things about Heart. That's probably my number one is actually watching people come in and not have a purpose or don't know they have a purpose or hope or whatever. And then they get involved and it just.
They come alive. And that's discipleship.
Yep.
It's probably not the traditional way of doing discipleship in a church, but I would argue that it's way more effective when people come alive to their purposes in God. Remember, it reminds me of a story of a young lady who came in, I think it was last Christmas or the one before, I don't remember, it doesn't matter. But she was going to help us gather some things to take to a family. That's what she was going to do that day, help out. And as we got things gathered, I said, "Well, you're going to come with us, right?" She goes, "Oh, no, 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 that 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 That's way out of my comfort. How many times have you heard that?
Yeah, oh yeah.
That's way out of my comfort zone.
I've never done that.
Yeah, I know. And that's just...
You like, want me to what?
Boy, those are... Please don't say that around us, because
yeah.
We will definitely throw you...
It's going to happen.
...out of your comfort zone. If you disclose that, then then you're coming with.
Right, right.
So we take her to deliver these gifts and this tree to a family, and we set it up, spend some time with them. Get to a point where, you know, we feel like it's a good time to ask them how we can pray for them, which we try to do with
mm-hmm.
everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is there a need? How can we pray for you? And so this lady had a lot of prayer requests. Her life was very challenging. A lot of, well, to be honest, it was kind of a mess, right?
Mm.
And so she gives us this list of prayer requests. And then I say to this young lady, all right, I'd like you to pray for her. You know, and the look that she gave me was, you know.
What did you just do?
Basically, you're not my friend anymore.
Yeah, right? You betrayed me.
This was a bait and switch.
How could you?
But, you know, she prayed, and it wasn't like a rehearsed prayer that she'd prayed many times. You know, the one she had in her back pocket that she prays all. It was from the heart because it was new. And she was completely trusting the Holy Spirit to give her the words. It was short, but she prayed exactly for what the lady asked, and it was powerful. But here's the thing. It changed that lady. It changed her life.
Mm-hmm.
So now, you know, 2 years later, I get texts from her all the time. I prayed for this lady in the line at the grocery store.
Nice.
I prayed for my mom. I prayed with my dad.
Yep.
My cousin just came to Jesus. I've learned how to share the gospel.
Come on.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what stands out to me with that, when you're saying that right now, is we say it a lot, stepping out in risk. Like, I'm going to step out in faith, take a little risk. But it's like getting out of God's way, getting yourself out of the way. Because anybody could do anything, right? I can try real hard out of my own strength and just do this thing, create this thing. And a lot of people, I would say the world does that. And some of them do a really good job at it. But it's different when you're partnering with the Lord, saying, okay, I don't have the words right now. I can't do this thing. I don't know how to figure this out. I got to get out of the way so you can do this for me. You know, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and that's kind of like a little bit what she's doing there. She's like, what am I doing? This has to be from you, God, because I don't have anything. Mm-hmm. I got no words.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what to pray for. You do it.
And sometimes when people in that position, they pray and we get done, maybe we're debriefing and they say, oh, that was horrible. That was awful.
No.
I tripped over my words. And I'm like, did you hear yourself pray?
Right. Mm-hmm.
It was powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sometimes I don't think they necessarily actually hear what is coming out of their mouth.
Right. Yeah. A lot of times too, when you're praying in the Spirit, you don't know. Because like the Holy Spirit took over. Like, I don't remember what I just said. It wasn't me. And speaking of tripping over words, you can't get a better compliment than so did Moses.
Yeah.
He's I can't talk. It's like, well, you're a pretty important figure in the kingdom. So I'd say go be like Moses. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know? But
yeah, that is just so, again, getting out of the way and partnering with the Lord and doing these things. And then what happens then is it takes all the pressure off of you, right? Mm-hmm. It's like you think it's kind of funny. You get all nervous and you get scared and you think you're supposed to come up with something, and the Lord blesses it because your heart's right, you know? And that's how he kind of operates. I'm sitting here thinking, so we got this young man in the back that works here, and he's, I don't know, 23, 24. I don't know how old he is. But I remember him going on his first mission trip.
New York.
And this was when we actually had moved from doing disaster work in New York to just doing street ministry in New York. And matter of fact, for you people that might have listened to podcast number 4 or whatever, when we talked about fingernail polish, that's where some of it went.
Sure.
We actually were on the streets of New York and we line up these tables at these outreaches, and the kids would do fingernails or people's fingernails, and then they would actually prophesy over them when they were doing fingernails. So
nice.
Kind of a fun little story. But this kid is, he's, I want to say he's 13, 14 at the time. First trip ever. And never prayed for anybody in his life. And when we went back then, when we'd go on a trip, whenever I when I'd lead a trip, I'd always bring like a construction team or construction people, because we do construction work, and then bring prayer people. And this one team had, I don't know, five or six of just some of the top prayer people at Hosanna at the time. And there's a woman who had two, she was bent over. So she's bent over probably like a, I don't know, is that a 90 degree angle, 45 degree
like forward angle? Thinking? Yeah,
she's
like
bent, she's totally hunched over wow. Forward. And she's got two walking canes. And so we were there Friday, and by Sunday night when we're doing this, every one of my main prayer ministers asked her for prayer, and every time they asked her, she said no. And I finally just said, just leave her alone. If she doesn't want prayer, she doesn't want prayer. Leave her alone. So we're going to do street ministry the next day, and we're going through the Time to Revive model, and you know, love, listen, discern, and respond. Mm-hmm. And I'm teaching them on, you know, this is what I want you guys to do. And then the Lord, I feel like the Lord says, okay, I want you to count off into sevens.
Nice.
All right. So I'm like, fine, you know, all right, everybody line up, count off into sevens. Boo, 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 boo. So we all count off.
Wait, just hold on. I can't move off of that. Is everyone listening? Like what he just said, it's very small, but it's very profound. Tony's like, I feel like the Lord just said to count off by seven. People would disregard that.
Right.
This or just like, how do I hear about God? I know it's a totally different topic, but it's like, I just want to point that out to people. Anytime you feel like, oh, that might've been from the Lord. So anyway, right.
No, that's really a good point. And it, for me, just to kind of talk about that for a second, Dylan, it's usually a fairly random thought that I wouldn't have necessarily thought was mine.
Right.
So that's kind of how I know when the Lord's talking to me.
Nice.
And so I feel like we're supposed to count out to seven. We count out to seven. And then, okay, group one here, blah, 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 group two, three, whatever. And they're in like group three. Mm. And I said, okay, now you guys are going to pray for each other. Well, group three has Tyler and this woman.
Mm-hmm.
And a whole bunch of other people who have never, ever prayed for people before.
Nice. Perfect.
And, you know, so you don't have, here's the funny thing about the Lord. We counted off, not one big prayer minister was there.
Nice.
And so they start, I said, okay, now pray for each other. And somewhere along the line, they pray for this lady. Tyler's on one side and somebody's on the other. And they pray for this lady. And I hear this shout. And I look, and she pops up drops both canes. And this is 10 years she's been like this.
Wow.
Completely healed. He's never prayed for anybody in his life that day. And just gets completely healed on the spot.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was just great. Love so, those, you know, again, I don't know why that happens, but when we go on trips, it just seems like there's another thing where people get out of their comfort zone,
nice.
And they get out in there, and all of a sudden God shows up in these ways that are just, you know, crazy, and people just have these divine encounters with the Lord through healing or prophetic words or just stuff, right? And we see this all the time on our trips, like just there's just no way this happens unless the Lord, you know, does it. So,
exactly.
It's just really cool. But, you know, now Tyler's one of the guys that works here, right? And this is like 10 years later.
Right.
Yeah. And
transformation.
Yeah. It's just
and
it's
giving
really,
back.
It's really cool.
You know, I would say to anybody who feels like getting out in the streets and praying for people is way out of their comfort zone. They don't feel qualified. They don't know how to pray eloquently. They haven't been a Christian long enough. They don't have enough scripture memorized, all of that. I would say to that person, you are exactly the right person to go out and do this.
Totally.
Exactly, because you're putting yourself in a place of trust.
Yeah.
Right? I got to be careful how I say this, but you know, there's sometimes people who want to join us in our outreach and you know, they'll give you their resume.
Sure.
I've done this. I'm part of this group. I've done this. Been doing this for blah, 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 whatever. And, you know, they're very, they're professionals, right? And, you know, oh, they've got great hearts and they've had great success in ministry. But sometimes I watch those people who can sometimes go into a situation and not be super discerning because they have an agenda.
Right.
They've got a model. They've got a method. And regardless of the situation, they just like work the model, right?
Yep.
Work the plan. And I just see people just shut down, right? Mm-hmm. They're not receiving any of it. As opposed to the person who's shaking in their boots.
Mm.
They are so afraid.
Yep.
And all they just say a simple prayer. And to watch the tears start coming out of the eyes of people they're praying with.
Come on.
Because it wasn't them.
Yep.
Was it
yep.
their eloquence? It wasn't in their own strength. Totally dependent on the Holy Spirit at that point.
Yep.
And, you know, I have to remind myself that you just have to stay childlike like that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Stay
Lord,
childlike.
Help us if we ever become experts.
Yes.
Then we're done.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not interested in that. I don't want to sign up for that.
No.
But you touch on something, too, real quick. And we can go there for just a second. It's because we hear that a lot. We talk about hitting the streets. That's a huge piece to this whole fun kingdom equation that's going on in city transformation, people's lives being changed, is that if you go out, you go to a restaurant, if you go sit at a bar somewhere or whatever, I don't know what you're doing, you go to the grocery store, it's probably a bad example, whatever.
A grocery store?
Well, no, the bar part.
Oh, okay.
I just well, mostly,
what do you mean? We serve beer at the old
that's true.
Summer events.
Rhythm on the rails.
What the heck?
It's true. Let's go, right? We can be responsible.
Yeah, we're Lutherans.
Yeah. But the point is like, to quote someone else, it's like, I might be calling BS on that. Like, don't tell me you don't know how to talk to people. Because you go to the soccer game and you're talking to the other dads or the moms. You go to the grocery store. You're making small talk everywhere.
Yeah.
You do it. You do it so naturally. And I get not everyone is extroverted. To some degree, I'm not either. I get recharged in another way. But like we go out, we just say hi. You just say hi even, right? You do that, don't you? I mean, I hope you do. And then when you do that, then you start to have a conversation with the Lord. It could be ahead of time. It could be in the moment. Or maybe it's even afterwards. Like, all right, Lord, just bless that, whatever that was. But begin to step out and just say, instead of going to the gas station and you just get gas, like, don't pay at the pump. Go inside. Talk to the clerk. And then just, or you might bump into somebody and it just leads to something else. Like you're just coming at this open. Like, okay, God, what do you want to do? And then, I mean, it's fun because you literally have no idea what happens after that and how it could come back. It'll go first full circle.
Yeah.
You might even see the fruit of what you just planted.
I don't think people understand the power of a Holy Spirit fueled, inspired.
Come on.
Smile. Or right. just one kind word,
mm-hmm.
you know, like the person behind the counter helping you out.
Yep.
Man, you're so good at what you do.
Mm-hmm.
So that could just turn their day completely
Correct.
Around.
Totally.
Yep.
You know, it doesn't always have to be this eloquent presentation of the gospel. Though I'm not opposed to that. When the Lord opens that door, we step into it.
Right.
But just understand the power of the Holy Spirit in you.
Mm-hmm.
People are so starved for connection
and
somebody to notice them and say hi. You know, we're talking about bringing flowers to receptionists.
Mm.
We had one, man, her walls were up just like, it was tough. But for some reason, she kept engaging us in conversation, so we didn't feel like she was pushing us out.
Mm.
So I stepped out and I just, you know, I asked her, and I said, this is going to seem very random and I hope this is okay, but you know, if you had a prayer request, how could I pray for you? And she goes, nope, I'm good. And then she completely shut it down. However, after that, she kept engaging in conversation and then opened up about her life after that. It was almost as if she felt inside, oh my, these people see me.
Mm.
Right.
They care about me, even though I'm not into prayer or even into their God or whatever was going through her mind.
Mm-hmm.
Someone just saw me, and I'm willing to open up my life to them a little bit. Mm. So that's the Holy Spirit working.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, that's really good. You know, I've got these two guys that run our construction crew, Tom and Mike. And Tom was on the first trip that we ever did. Never, you got to understand, these guys never prayed for anybody. Fast forward now, so, you know, it's 10 years ago, whatever. So they run Hart's construction team. And every time they're doing construction projects, the first thing now is prayer.
Nice.
They actually, prayer becomes way more important to them than fixing anything in the house. You know, they'll fix it and they're really good at doing it, obviously, but they actually are more concerned about engaging the person's house or whoever it is and how they can come around her.
Nice.
And and help. I think about that. You guys started it. Maybe we've told this story. Maybe we haven't. Remember when you guys went out? You guys went out to the trailer park, and you went to one house, and they said
the White House.
The White House.
Tressa. Sorry,
Tressa. Yep. And you had to go. No, you have to go see Tressa. So you guys go see Tressa.
Right.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't she just get out of the military? Right. She's pregnant. She buys a dilapidated trailer park because she's coming out of an abusive relationship.
Totally.
Right.
And you guys get her hooked up with the Hart construction team, who goes in, remodels her whole place, and I think this is the coolest thing. And when it's time for her, she's pregnant, right, and to have her kid, she calls the construction team, and they bring her to the hospital.
Right. All the appointments. And afterwards, I mean, we've talked about this many times. We're in it for the long haul. Tom Kelly, all them, Tony, and what's his wife's name? Rachel? Maybe I'm wrong. Sorry. But they would bring her to appointments. They would go and get her stuff, whatever she needed. And they'd stop at the warehouse to pick up stuff and bring it to her. I mean, she just got a long-term like love bomb. It was just like, here we go. We're not gonna leave you, because she took everything she had, and she said, I'm gonna buy this thing, and I need help, you know. And I think it's huge. But it's about listening to the Lord, you know, and what's He saying?
Yeah.
So that's huge. I think. And getting people involved, I think that's a huge piece of taking their gifts and getting them involved. What was the county, or maybe not saying the county, there was a bike situation that somebody needed a bike. Was it, I don't remember who had that. Do you remember? I'm trying to remember. Maybe not.
We've given
so many
thousands
bikes
of bikes still. I don't know.
Which, do you remember that one bike?
That one.
That was, had some pedals and two wheels. I'm just kidding.
No, that was the one that just lately though was, wasn't it Davich with the county?
Yes.
The county came to Aaron and just said, hey, we need a bike for somebody that couldn't get, I think the bike was stolen, if I remember correctly.
Yes, there it is. Thank you. There's something with the bike.
Yeah, the kid's bike got stolen. That's what he was using to get to work or something. Yep. And the county asked Davich, and he got a bike. And just meeting that need so they could even go out and do that. It's funny because it's not only the county. I think about the story of, so it is last winter maybe, or two winters ago, there's a guy and he's fairly intoxicated and he's at the transit station and the police are called because he's making a ruckus. And Shakopee PD picks him up. And there's only one place that'll take him, and that's downtown Minneapolis.
Oh. Hmm.
And Shakopee PD shows up. And there's like 2 or 3 inches of snow on the ground. It's snowing. It's blowing. It's like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And we got the store open, and they pop in at the outlet store, right? And,
sure.
And they're like, hey, can anyone of you guys bring this guy down to Minneapolis? Well. And we're like, well, sorry, we can't. But because we have this relationship with the PD, we end up going into our petty cash.
Nice.
And we get the Uber. We pay for so we give the police the money. They get him an Uber, and they put him in the car, and they send him down to Minneapolis, and they get him to the place where he will take him, right? So this is what's fun about what we're doing here is, you know, you know, government officials know to come to us because we'll actually help them get people to wherever – they're at. And John, you brought this up before about Eldon. What was the story with Eldon and Michelle and at Canterbury and how they took a runaway or somebody that was up at that concert?
Yeah, same thing. Just a lady. I'm not quite sure her situation, but it involves certain things. And
what certain things? I'm just kidding.
You know. I don't know. And but she needed to get to Mankato because that's where she was staying.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't and police brought her to us. And God bless Elvin and Michelle. So we'll
take her.
Mankato is about an hour and a half out of our way. We'll we'll take her home. But,
it's in the other direction, but sure, why not?
But you know, when they got back, I saw them the next day, and they just had smiles on their faces. And again, it's like something inside of them just kind of came to life. They were able to minister to this young lady in the way down. Just spent an hour and a half in the car with her.
Yeah,
got to pray for her, and you know, who knows the fruit of that. And
totally.
You know, there's another two, you know, as I'm thinking about those two, that are, they do so much here. And they're retired. They don't have to be here, but they come. And I mean, I can't tell you enough about Eldon, because Eldon knows exactly what I'm thinking, because he's been around me long enough where I can just say, Eldon, do this.
Yep.
And, you know, there's a lot of complexities to heart and heartland and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But Eldon, he's the dude that you need something done. Here, Eldon, just do this. He will just do it and do it to perfection.
Mm-hmm.
And Michelle, you know, she actually, she runs all of my emails.
Nice.
So she knows the ins and outs of my mind because she has to deal with me on a daily basis on, you know, all this stuff. So those two, I'm thinking of all these different volunteers. Those two, I don't even remember where they came from, to be honest with you. But you want to talk about two people that serve with the heart of Jesus and help so many people.
It's good.
It's incredible how much those two do here.
Yeah, we talked about that on another episode of being like sacrifice. Like, man, we got to give, but we're giving back, but it's going to take some sacrifice. And they're huge servants of the Lord. It's so good.
Well, it's crazy because I think they live in Elko or something. So they're not even, I mean, I'm in Lakeville and they're farther south than I am.
Yep.
And he'll beat me here by a half hour. And I get here at 6:30 in the morning and he's here at six, right? And it's just, and he'll run back and forth from Faribault and do all sorts of stuff. So, yeah, really cool to just see all the people. And you think about it, it's kind of crazy when you start thinking about all the people that are in there doing stuff and just catching fire. And
you're talking about that. And I think I want to go back to something real quick, if it's okay. We talk about serving. Eldon and Michelle, one great example. There's so many other examples that's on the, but then there's people that on the other side of, like, that are looking into heart, right? They're whatever seat they sit in. Maybe it's a government, maybe it's something else, it's a business, maybe it's school, it's other nonprofit church, but they say, hey, we've got this need. Like that bicycle one. Hey, it might be a small thing. Everybody knows we have bikes, right? But what, like you said, John, well, it's not really about the bike.
It's not.
No. It's not about the bike.
No.
Because they know, right? Say more on that. What is it about then? If it's not about the bike, because we know we'll get the bike quickly. We don't jump through any hoops. Here it is. Here's your bike. Now you can be mobile. But like, what is it about then?
Right. And the government has their own avenues for things like that, that they know how to plug into those things. But they know that when they call on us to go meet a need, meet with a family, deliver this or whatever, that person or that family is going to get loved on and prayed for.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to a certain degree, they realize that that's what the people really need.
Nice. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because you can hand out stuff, money, all day long till you're blue in the face. That won't change anything.
No.
Yep.
And that's, it's interesting. I think there in the nutshell for me is, I don't want to be a place where it's just, come get stuff, because you can do that anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
There's, as a matter of fact, there's plenty of places in the city, you know, that you can go get something. I think our heart is we want to see people, again, this goes back to God's got a calling on everybody's life. And if we can help push a person into that situation,
yep,
and get them to a place where they can start walking out their call with Jesus, then we've done.
Mm-hmm.
And that,
it's good.
It's actually given me another testimony.
Nice. What is it? Let's hear it.
So there's a young woman who, I'm not going to mention her name.
Sure.
That I met through Mikasa a long time ago, kind of helped her out.
Mm-hmm.
She used to go to, what's the school you guys go visit all the time?
Takata.
Oh, Takata. Mm-hmm. So she was in Takata.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, you know, like a lot of us when we were younger, had made some not great choices.
No, and, Tony, no. Dylan, no.
I've never. And, I was a choir boy.
So okay. Ends up, I believe, has a kid and kind of goes away from the Lord. Well, I just heard that because of just some contact and you know, it's really important, you guys, that sometimes we plant a seed and we can water that seed a little bit. And then sometimes we just have to let it sit.
Totally.
Right? Don't push it. Just let it sit. Well, I heard she's been coming to Hosanna for like 3 months now with the baby and her mom.
Nice.
And she now wants to get baptized.
Nice.
Yeah. So I just heard this on Saturday.
Yep.
So I haven't talked to her in a little bit, but it's good to hear that she's here. And again, this is a relationship from probably 3 or 4 years ago that came alongside of her, helped her out, helped her mom out. They knew where we were, planted some seeds, let it sit.
Yep.
God had to take her around maybe the mountain once or twice.
Sure.
Right? But is now in a good spot, ready to move on with our life with the Lord.
Nice.
I mean, awesome.
And I bet that there was multiple heart right people in there.
Sure.
Right? Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Like so many awesome
all
people.
Sorts. And you know what? She'd come here at Christmas and get enough stuff, and nothing was said to her other than just love on her, get her her stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's just funny. People know where to come, right? Yeah. I mean, they know that there's a safe place that they can come, that they're not going to be judged, that they're going to get some stuff met, and they can go out and trip a couple more times and trip over themselves, but they know that there's a place here, including the church, you know? I mean, give the credit here to the church, too, is like to be open to allowing that to happen, and then when they're ready, just pick them up and walk. So,
do you remember the story about the young lady with the umbrella? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I probably shouldn't mention her name.
No, not yet. But there's a great story. It's in motion.
It is in, and I've got an update for that one.
Tell us about that. Tell us about the umbrella.
Yeah. So back in June, we encountered a young lady sitting on the sidewalk, smoking a cigarette. It was hot out that day. Sun beating down on her. So we gave her an umbrella.
It was hot.
You're right. And we found out a few things about her. Number one, she was pregnant. Homeless. And is just 2 days off of meth.
Yeah, it was really recent.
Right.
2 days.
Right. So we got her contact information, stayed connected with her. And I've got a wonderful update.
Oh, nice.
About that young lady.
Because
we did stay connected through that, through the course of meeting her and staying connected. She's pregnant, right?
Yep.
We came alongside, drove her to her doctor's appointments, her ultrasound appointments.
Yep.
What was cool about that was, she walked into the a Planned Parenthood, I think it was Planned Parenthood or anywhere.
Something like that.
To get an abortion. And she walked in, and she, as she describes the story, she just felt like, I can't do this. I can't do this. So she decided to not take meth, right?
Wow.
Because she had been using right up until then.
Right.
And so that's when we met her, like 2 days after that. So anyway, got her to her doctor's appointments, her ultrasounds appointments. She found a place to live with her ex-boyfriend.
Court appointments.
Right. And he had his own issues with the story, law. But that's another story.
It's a good one.
Drove both of them to their court appointments, mm-hmm. picked him up from prison, all of that. In all that, I spent a very long day with this young lady as we were waiting for her ex-boyfriend, now current boyfriend, to get released from jail. In the course of that time, she got a phone call from her estranged family members, her sister, one of them, and her mom. And they had both written her off and said, "We're done with you."
Wow.
She's, you know, this young lady.
Like in that phone call?
No, saying before that.
Before all that.
Before all that.
Wow.
And so she gets these phone calls that day. And I get a front row seat to reconciliation of those relationships going on. And got to talk to both of them.
It's
a beautiful thing. Anyway, this young lady just had her baby on the 2nd of December.
Really?
A healthy boy.
Yeah, I guess so. Wow.
And she's been, she had one lapse, which she called me right away and told me about. She said, I had a relapse, but I'm better. I'm doing good. You know, I don't know much about recovery or the whole addiction process, but it seems like that's a part of it. People do.
Yeah.
Relapse.
Sometimes
right?
they slip up.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
It's like, shoot.
So that's part of the journey, right?
Yep.
It's okay.
But, you know, she's upfront about it and honest. And my wife, Amy, got involved because she's a labor and delivery nurse and helped talk her through some things. This young lady just keeps talking about how she's seen God show up in her life lately. And it's just been a beautiful story. You know, all because just a simple little act of obedience. Hey, go pray for that lady sitting on the on the curb. And the Lord is blessing her life, and it's going to be okay.
It's good.
We get to be part of these stories, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's kind of a good, healthy addiction, and I think I see that in a lot of people who volunteer at Heart.
Yeah.
They're addicted to those stories. They're addicted to watching God work in miraculous and powerful ways. You got to have more.
Yeah.
Nice.
And, you know, everybody's got different ways of doing it. You know, I think about sometimes it's praying, sometimes it's just answering the call. We had a we had a kid come in. He was homeless, and he was 18 years old, and he walked in at like 6 o'clock at night and went into the food aisle, grabbed two cans of soup, and said, "Can I eat this just out of the can, or do I have to heat it up?"
Interesting.
And people are like, well, he goes, "I'm homeless." And he was living behind Cub in a tent. So there's a couple of the women working in Costco made sure they got a hold of him. Then one in particular and her boyfriend went to visit him. We got him within 24, 48 hours, got him out of there, got him into a place, got him into Allos.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah, got him into Allos, got him a job, and started to turn his life around. What's funny is his life has taken twists and turns, but Laura and Tim have contact with this guy.
Nice.
2 years later. And I think they've actually put him on a bus to Wisconsin and paid a bus ticket. And, but I think Tim talks to him like once a week.
Okay.
You know, so it's just kind of funny that 2 years after the fact, still having conversations, still checking in, just a random deal, you know, that night has turned into how can I keep speaking into your life?
Yeah. Right? And if you want a definition of empowerment, that might be a good definition. Yeah. Like right there.
Yep.
Nice work.
Yeah. And I was just thinking about last month, you had a volunteer appreciation dinner for all the Heart volunteers. Yeah. And of course, not all of them were there, but was it like 300 people there? There was
quite a few.
But when you look at that and you go, okay, there's 300 people who are in a good way addicted to watching the Lord move.
Totally.
And to work through them, right?
Yeah, no, for sure.
And so when you talk about changing the world, it's not just a good idea
right.
that these folks are talking about. They're actually part of doing that, and we're actually seeing it.
Come on.
We're seeing the fruit. I mean, imagine what it would look like if, you know, most believers started to adopt a lifestyle of that.
Yeah.
I mean, we'd see our cities transformed.
Mm. It might be the only addiction I probably would sign off on.
Right.
That's a good one.
There you go.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
But that's really good. I think that's just one thing that HART offers people, an opportunity to actually develop a lifestyle of kingdom.
and what's nice is it's okay if you even make a mistake, right? It's just totally. Like, this is kind of what we do.
Yep.
Right? And it's not sometimes, you know, you start dealing with people and you get in their mess and sometimes they don't want to be out of their mess.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you just kind of got to let that go. But yeah, it's kind of what the kingdom's supposed to be, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I read the Gospels a lot and I see two things about Jesus. He served people.
Mm.
He came to serve. Get that, everybody? He came to serve.
Nice.
And he met people's needs, right? And a lot of those were physical and, you know, spiritual needs. But it's funny because he met a lot of the physical needs that you don't hear much about. He had a little better way of feeding people than I do, but, but... Nice.
Couple loaves, couple fish.
Yeah, I mean, but it's just interesting how it's fairly simple what he did. Engaged people, met a need, prayed for them,
yep.
And people left transformed.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's like if you got skills, which you're a toy maker,
yeah.
Right? With David, right? David, you're in a wheelchair. Okay, there's a place. You have gifts. You're Brian. I know how to cook food. You're Tom or anybody on that team, construction. You know how to build things, make cuts, you know, tear a wall down and put it back up again, put it in a door. You know, it's like there's a huge opportunity for people. If you're listening, like, I don't want to be a greeter at the front door of church, which if you do that, awesome. Love it. But maybe there's something else. And there's a whole unique... whole other side of a wall and a huge, I think combined 30,000 square feet. So like, so you got 60,000 square feet to play with, everybody. Come on in, right?
Right.
Come on in.
You're right. And it's, we know it happens in HART, but it also happens in Heartland where, you know, everything, what's fun about Heartland is it's not necessarily religious people coming in. Right?
Totally.
There's a lot of unbelievers that walk through those doors, and to get a word from the Lord or meet them in the midst of their situation, you know, it's just really cool. And you know, I've always told everybody, and this includes on the store side, like, hey, if the Lord tells you to give something away, you better give it away. I don't really care what it is. Because I'd rather have you be obedient to the Lord than worry about...
If you better listen.
Yeah, you better listen. Or then worry about, you know, whatever. And, I mean, I...
The most recent one with Pam, tell that story. They have an in the outlet store. She's coming in for flooring. And we just not gun shy about at all who we are, what we do, and like, tell that story real quick.
Yeah, so she just comes in for flooring. And what's funny is... you know, we just tell her what we're doing, and she just tells us, you know, her situation.
Yep.
And it's kind of funny because, you know, Dylan immediately goes, you know, God can heal this right away. Yeah. And it just didn't register with her.
No, she's like, right.
She's just kind of like, so we just said, well, stop, and we're just going to pray for you. So we end up praying for her. Right there. And what's funny is the next day, she calls up and she comes back and she wants more flooring.
Yeah, which real quick on that. So she comes in. She's looking for a decent amount of flooring, right?
Yeah.
1,000 square feet. But it's a lot like people will come in like, I'm really looking for a specific color.
Right.
So I want to talk about this because this is where the fun part with the store is. People are like, how is this fun with the kingdom? Correct me if I'm wrong. I think if that truckload of flooring came in, it was one that you maybe kind of forgot about. Is that true? Like, you're like, oh, I didn't know that was coming in. Is that true?
It wasn't supposed to come to us. It was supposed to come to Faribault.
It makes it even better. So if you're listening, Pam walks in. She's looking for a very specific color flooring. We don't have it. I'm showing her everything we got. I was like, sorry, Pam. I can't get you what you need. She's kind of bumming out. I was like, all right, fine. I really want this reddish kind of whatever, hickory, you know, just a reddish color. All right. Well, then Tony's like, wait a minute. He's like, in the back, we just got this brand new flooring that came in. Tony brings her to the back, shows her. It lights up. This is exactly what she's looking for. So now she's in like, right, for us, in our minds, like, ooh, she's ready to go. She's like, she's primed.
She's like, there must be a God.
Yeah, there must be a Lord. Yeah, exactly. God is real. He heard my prayer about flooring, which is true. I love it. So she gets the flooring that she wants. She buys 44 cases. Great. And then it opens up to like her saying, well, my wrists hurt. I'm going to have surgery on this. I got other things in my body we don't need to go into. But she's like, I got to have this surgery and that surgery. Like, hey, I love the Lord and I love doctors and they can do that too. But also, we're going to pray right now and just be bold that God's going to heal this. Maybe before you even need to have surgery. We weren't shy about it, basically. Right. And that's what Tony was saying, is that she comes back in the next day and she's like, I'm going to buy more of that flooring, another 68 boxes. Yep. So it's just fun. And I'll give you another piece to this. There's a guy, really good friend, who delivers for the store, right? His name's Jeff. I get in contact with him because I'll say, hey, you know, this person needs that. They need this delivered. And like, okay, great. I said, by the way, Jeff, because he loves to pray for people too. And again, it's just this long continuation of God at work. So she gets prayer in the middle of the store. Now Jeff's on the phone with her for like 15 minutes and he's talking to her and she's opening up to him. And again, she is telling him about all these things in her life. And he starts praying over her. And then he goes to her house and unloads the flooring and he's praying again over her and her whole life and her whole situation. And I just love it. Yeah. I love, like, again, where else would this ever happen? I think the Lord is doing ministry. He's also doing retail in a whole new way. Like, it's a whole new way to do business and to work with God. You know. So Pam was we love Pam.
That was just Pam like last week, you know. Those are just, I mean, this happens just so often.
Totally.
You know, and it probably would happen even more often if we were, you know, actually really being super sensitive to the Lord. Yeah. I know that, you know, Bob comes on Tuesdays, and Bob's an old prayer minister from Hosanna, but he comes here Tuesdays and volunteers at the outlet store and is always praying with somebody in the place.
Yeah.
So that's what's kind of fun about this is, you know, just it's fun to be in an atmosphere where people can come in and get a whole bunch of stuff that they can buy or whatever and actually have conversations about the Lord.
Totally.
And pray with them on the spot and get to meet people's needs.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think, so again, it goes back to, do you like to pray with people? Or maybe you've never done it, but if you like to pray with people, come in. Come in, hang out with us and hang out with Bob.
Yeah.
Or you're good with your hands. You like repairing small engines and working on stuff and piecing together vanities that are broken or taking a Sharpie because you can't get up, you're stuck in a wheelchair, which is just unfortunate. But you can take a Sharpie and you can mark off barcodes so we can go and give it to people in need. There's a place for you in heart, I think, which is huge to go back to that serving piece. It's just it's an amazing piece. It's creative on how to give back. Yeah. You got Brian, right? It's just all these good examples.
There's so many ways. And then there's also so many, you know, different opportunities that, you know, lead you to, I mean, again, I think about the people that came to heart with going through boxes that have now got to a point where they're willing to go out with you guys on the streets, right?
That's good.
That's a good step going from here to there, right?
Come on.
You know, there's just all sorts of opportunities for people to get involved, and we're always open to it. It's not like, hey, we're not going to do that. I mean, we're always open to other ideas. You may have a completely different idea that we haven't even thought about. We'd love to, we'd just love to have you come in and talk to us about it because it is about, you know, it's about advancing the kingdom. And guess what? God can advance the kingdom in multiple ways that we have not even seen yet.
That's a good
or experienced.
That's a good word.
So
that's a good way to end it, I think. Man, thanks for hanging in there and listening, everybody. That's awesome.
You're welcome.
Thanks, John. That's good. Well, good. Seriously, though, thank you guys, and thanks, John and Tony, and just I'm sitting here laughing and listening and learning, and it's just I think I'm having a great time, so it's fun. So, thanks for talking about how to give back, and it's not just about a bike; it's about what's behind a bike and the heart behind why we do all these things, and how heart is just at the center of a lot of the things that the Lord is doing. And so, I think it's great. It's really, really good. So, thanks for listening.
All right.
Sweet.
See you guys.
See ya.